The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
This is the Jackie Jones Challenge. And now here's your host, Jackie Jones.
Hi, this is Jackie Jones with the Jackie Jones Challenge. And today my guest is Ryan P. Ellis. He is the 22-year-old Chief Executive Office of iContact, the industry's leading email marketing RSS feed and blogging software, the chairman of Verante, Inc., a web-based marketing consulting firm that assists companies build sales on the web, and is the author of the book, Zero to 1 Million. Ryan is a serial entrepreneur and an international speaker on the topics of entrepreneurship, marketing, and innovation. Today, Ryan spends most of his time on his latest venture, iContact. As CEO, he has managed the company from its start in July 2003 to its current size of 50 employees and more than 16,000 companies with customers and $7 million in annual sales. Please welcome my guest, Ryan Ellis.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you, Ryan. You know what? When I met Chuck at BlogWorld and we spoke about interviewing you, I went home and I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute, Ryan from iContact, I think I met him. And I believe we met each other at Evan Pagan's Get Altitude conference in L.A.
Yeah, I remember that, and I was there.
We met each other, so we were destined to have an interview. So I'm really excited that you're here today. And Ryan is actually here. He's in Vegas for a conference, so that's really exciting. And I'm excited to have you on today because you've done so much at a young age. You've done things that adults twice your age have not accomplished. So share with me what that's like. It must be exciting.
Sure. Well, I'm having a really good time. I run iContact most days, and every day, actually. And we're up to about 75 employees now and about 17,000 customers. So we've raised some venture capital, and we're growing at 8-9% a month, and I'm really enjoying the experience.
Well, Ryan has a book called Zero to 1 Million. Fabulous book. If you are a true entrepreneur or desire to become an entrepreneur, business owner, this book is a must read, and it is something that you must have in your library of books. I got this book, and I couldn't put it down. Ryan is just real in this book. He tells you what he did, how he started, and then he goes on to give you a step-by-step blueprint to do what he's done to become a millionaire. Share with me, Ryan, how you started. Go back to, you know, riding your bike to fix people's computers.
Sure. I got started at the age of 11. I was living on Annamurra Island on the west coast of Florida. And I got a computer from my uncle the previous summer, and I thought to myself, what am I good at? What can I make a little bit of money doing? So I knew I was good at computers, so I put up some flyers in the local laundromat, city hall, and library. $5 an hour, responsible 12-year-old, call Ryan. And had my phone number on there, got a call a couple weeks later. My first contract, my first customer ever was Joe from 67th Street, rode my bike over there. And did the work, got $10, got an extra tip for the hour of work, and learned my first lesson about business the week later when Joe told Betty about my services, and word of mouth spread, and continued doing that for the whole summer and ended up making about $463, which was a large amount in my very young eyes. So I got started about 12 years ago and got into website design about age 14, then got into website marketing and search engine optimization after that.
Wow. And was that self-taught? You self-taught yourself?
Yeah, pretty much trial and error, and just learned as much as I could after school and during the summers.
Wow. That was really ambitious of you. Now, were your parents entrepreneurs or business owners, or were they professionals?
My father was an Episcopalian priest, and my mother was a social worker. So what I learned from them was to care about people and to care about how the world is structured.
Wow. So where did the business side come from?
I'm not completely sure. I do have an uncle who is an entrepreneur, runs a company called Stratus Computers in the server business. And I was influenced by him, certainly. But, you know, I just sort of stumbled into it, I guess. I really wasn't an entrepreneur as far as I knew. I was simply a computer consultant, and then I was simply a graphic designer, simply a web marketing consultant. And it wasn't until I was really about 17 when I was working in a company for the first time, doing their web marketing, getting them in the search engines, building an affiliate program, building their email newsletter. And I saw the effect that web marketing and building a true business could have. We were able to build a company from $1,000 a month in sales to $200,000 a month in sales in 12 months. And I was managing a monthly marketing budget of $50,000 at age 17. And I saw the impact that entrepreneurship could have in one's life, in one's financial security, in one's ability to give back to a community. And at that point, I said, hey, I really want to be an entrepreneur, not just an independent consultant.
Okay. And was that at the same time where you were a senior in college or not quite yet? High school.
I was a senior in high school at that time, yes.
Okay, so now you were looking, was this where you were looking to go to college, or you were drawn between business or college, or not yet? There was something else between here?
Yeah, you got it right. At the end of that first year, we had had tremendous success in building the company to over $1 million in sales in a little over a year. And I was struggling with the decision whether I should go off to college or take another year to work in this company. So I ended up choosing between University of Pennsylvania, NYU, UNC, and University of Florida. And at the end of the day, I decided to go to UNC because it wasn't as expensive as UPenn or NYU, and it had a little bit of a better business school than University of Florida. So I went up to Chapel Hill, North Carolina to go to UNC, and ended up in a very, very active entrepreneurial community there.
Okay. And that happens to be where you still are today?
That's correct. I live in Chapel Hill, and my office is in Durham, about 15 minutes away.
Okay, so when I was reading the book and you were going through that struggle, like I felt myself going through that struggle too, you know, what is it, money or education? Money or education, and you took education. So how did you find that to be? Was it good for you to go, or was it disappointing?
In the short term, I continued to struggle. I wanted to be my own entrepreneur. I wanted to be working in business. And for the first few months, I was, of course, focused on calculus and accounting and statistics and English, and what I felt sort of distraught that I wasn't working on what my passion was. I was able to get involved in the entrepreneurship club at UNC, was able to meet my business partner, Aaron Howden. I incorporated my company, which was called Durante, and it was just me at the time, and so I could do web marketing consulting and search engine optimization for other clients, and started to get involved with building iContact in the fall of 2002. So I began, you know, there's about 2 or 3 months where I was a little bit depressed and sad that I wasn't following my passion, and the wrong side of my brain was working to do all these mathematical problems. But I was building good relationships, and overall the experience at Carolina was very positive and helped me tremendously in learning how to learn, as well as building relationships with professors and with other students that later helped me tremendously in business.
So when you go to speak to students in high school, have you ever come across a high school entrepreneur such as yourself, or not yet?
I've come across many high school entrepreneurs, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you suggest to them? Because I'm sure they have, well, I don't know if they've had the success you've had, but do you suggest to them to go on to higher learning?
Sure. I mean, I think it always depends on the situation. In the case of a high school student, I will always, almost always, recommend to go to college. The very act of going to college, having a freshman year, living in the dorm, having that social experience, meeting professors, I think is extraordinarily valuable from a business perspective, as well as just I experienced this perspective. Once you are in college, the sort of metric that I have, sort of the rule of thumb, is if you can get your business to be up to the point where you're doing about $5,000 in monthly sales, then take a semester off or take a year off and try and build it. And if you can grow it further, you know, you've got a good business, a good-sized business, take as much time off as you need. You know, one of the purposes of going to college is to get a good job. So if you're able to create that, while you're in college, take some time off and pursue that if it's what your passion is. You have a lot. You do have time in college, although, you know, you've got 18 hours or 15 hours of course load. You generally will have 15 or 20 hours a week in which you could work. If you haven't yet got your business to that sort of $5,000 monthly income level or monthly revenue level, focus on building it in your spare time. And, you know, if you end up graduating, then it's a perfect transition into building the company afterwards. And if it does get to that level, take some time off.
Mm. Now, what words of wisdom do you have for people who are out of college or, you know, who may be mature adults but want to become an entrepreneur? How would they get started, or, you know, what is your suggestion for them to move in that direction?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that one needs is a business idea. There are many ways of coming up with business ideas. You can look at products you use in your everyday life and figure out how to make them better. You can go to networking events and find other people who already have business opportunities, business ideas, and partner with them. You can get involved with the local university research labs and figure out what technologies they're trying to commercialize and actually be the entrepreneur that commercializes their technology through a licensing agreement. You can get involved with franchises and purchase a franchise. You can get involved with other inventors in your area. You can look at the patents that are coming out in your area and get involved with them and commercialize their research. There are a number of ways to get started in business. In our case, I met someone through a networking event and decided to partner with someone who already had a business idea. So that was the path I found to get started. And then the second thing, once you have an idea, you want to vet it and determine if it's a true business opportunity. So you talk to people, not your friends, not your professors, not your coworkers, but you talk to people that might actually want to buy the product, people in the demographic market, and you ask them, is this product something you would buy? Here's the expected price point. Is that something that you would be willing to spend? And what you want to make sure happens is that you do not end up creating a product or a service in which the cost to create the product or service is higher than the price people are willing to pay to get it. So you vet it and make sure it's a true business opportunity, and then you got to figure out what your motivations are, and if you can align what you love and what your passion is with this new entrepreneurial venture, you make the decision to have a bias toward action and go for it. And I think that's sort of the jumping off the cliff point. And that's where you sort of at least part time start working on this venture to try and make it a reality.
Good words. Now, what about, you went into the price points and things like that, because often that's where people lose, with the supply and demand and the price. And what if they don't have that economic understanding of how to plot the proper price point? Should they take a course in economics, or should they partner with someone who has that background?
Well, I think it's definitely very important to understand the concepts of supply and demand and price and cost, et cetera. You want to look at who you're selling to, whether it's going to be manufacturers, whether you're selling to retailers, whether you're selling to the end consumer, whether you're selling to businesses, and then the channel through which you're selling, whether it's catalogs, internet, at wholesale, or directly in a store. And I think that's a really important thing to consider. I think it would be helpful if someone has not had at least an economics course to take one at the local college or local community college or online. The basic concepts are, you want to make sure that whatever you're creating, people want and are willing to pay more than it costs to create it. And if you're creating a product, there are going to be elements, whether they be ingredients or parts or components or software features, and you'll be able to price those out differently for each type of product, and just figure out what your upfront costs are going to be, and then what your unit costs are going to be. And I think the differentiation between fixed costs and then variable costs is a very important concept to understand. And if you can figure out what your variable cost is per unit, you're able to determine what your price needs to be, and then how long it will take to get break even. A course that might also be good is just a basic business planning course, in which you go through the process of doing everything I just said on paper and determining how long it is going to take for you to break even, assuming you hit your assumptions.
Mm-hmm. So on a basic level, for someone to become successful in business, you mentioned that they should have a basic business plan course. So that should include something like accounting, your economics, marketing. Is that what you're saying when you're saying a basic level business planning course?
Yes, and I don't think it's required, but I think it's something that would be helpful, understanding the basics of accounting, as well as how to use QuickBooks, as well as fixed costs, which is variable costs, unit costs, and cash flow, and break-even analysis, I think is something that is helpful to the aspiring entrepreneur. And if they have a partner that understands those concepts, that's absolutely great.
And then for the intermediate entrepreneur, if we're trying to give them some information, I know you mentioned setting up your company's name and the percentages of equity and non-competes, confidentiality, all those types of things. How do you learn those things, or is that something you would just go to a lawyer to take care of for you?
Yeah, generally you want to go to a lawyer to have them take care of it for you. If you choose to incorporate and it's just yourself, it's a little bit simpler, and in some cases you can just do that online at incorporate.com for $250. You do have to know which state you want to incorporate in, which type of company, whether it be S-Corp, LLC, C-Corp, etc. I have two companies. Verante is a 100% owned S-Corporation in North Carolina, and then iContact is a Delaware corporation, C-Corp, in which there are 10, actually about 15 different shareholders at the moment, seven initially. So with Verante, I did it myself online with iContact because there was more complexity and multiple shareholders. We went to a lawyer. You also should ask for a form, a non-compete form, a confidentiality form, an employment agreement form, so that as you offer, as you get new employees, you don't have to go back to the lawyer. You can just utilize the form each time.
Okay. So you set up iContact as a C-Corp because it was a bigger company?
Because we wanted to raise investment. There are some limitations on the number of shareholders you can have and the nationality of those shareholders as an S-Corp.
Right. Okay. And then the S-Corp was just a simpler for your Verante project to run under, to structure?
Yep. I wanted the net income to flow through to my personal tax return within the case of Verante, so that's why I organized it as an S-Corp.
Okay. So now we've covered for your startup business, entrepreneurs, and you're kind of intermediate. You have an idea and you're there. And then what about for your existing entrepreneur or business that is floundering, you know, not getting to the next level? You know, they just can't cross that hurdle. Do you have any suggestions of what they might look at or what they might do to get their business into that million-dollar arena if they're not already there?
Sure, and I think this may apply to, in some cases, hire good people, right? And probably the biggest, you know, I was working for a lady when I was 14 in the jewelry industry, and she had been bringing these pearl necklaces, rings, and pendants home from China every month and started selling them to her friends, ended up putting up a website, started doing well, got to the $5,000-$6,000 a month in revenue level. And eventually, she just got too tired of dealing with the customer service. There became a lot of complaints. She didn't want to lose control by hiring someone. So she just shut down the business and ended up losing a tremendous opportunity. And if she would have just hired a person and trained them and created systems and processes, she could have got that company to the next level. Getting to the next level sometimes is a mental thing as well as a marketing thing. If you can advertise online, either CPC or CPM, if you can get positioned at the top of Google for your search term, if you can open up a new distribution channel at wholesale through retail stores or maybe on the web, you can often grow your sales. If you can ask for referrals from your existing customers. But I think the key point is you want to systematize things, and you want to create your business where it's making money while you sleep. And if you can create your business into an organization that is making money while you sleep, you'll have the right systems in place so that you can go to Europe, you can take a week off, and you truly have an actual systematized business that runs by itself rather than a job that you've created for yourself.
Now, I know you talked about networking, and I know you're part of the Young Entrepreneurs Organization, or have they changed their name now? The Entrepreneurs?
Yes, it's now called Entrepreneurs Organization.
And with that, you have to be over $1 million in sales. Is that what the criteria is for entry?
Yes, you have to be under 40 years of age and over $1 million in annual sales.
Okay, and I believe in your book you mentioned that you were starting an entrepreneur organization where you didn't have to have the million. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have what's called entrepreneur and social entrepreneur meetups at my house once a month. And we get about 50 to 60 entrepreneurs and social entrepreneurs that come out to talk about how to change the world. And sometimes they're people that are also members of EO, and sometimes they're earlier stage aspiring entrepreneurs who in the future will either be members of EO or start some great social entrepreneurial ventures.
So with those people that they're not quite at the level to be a member of entrepreneur organization, are you helping them ramp up, helping them get their business in line so that they would be a $1 million company?
That is the goal, absolutely.
So are you planning to expand that nationally, or is it just going to remain in your home?
I'm still trying to figure that out, but at least for now, it's just a meetup that we do in Chapel Hill.
I think that's awesome, Ryan. You're doing so many great things and helping so many people reach their goals, and I would look forward to having you back again to go a little bit more in depth into the processes. But in the meantime, pick up the book 0 to 1 Million and start on your destiny into your passions of entrepreneurship. And thank you, Ryan, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jackie. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Jackie Jones Challenge. If you'd like to know how you can host your own radio show podcast, visit us online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.